So since you have been working here at the ICHIR, can you think of anything that surprised you?
Yeah, what surprises me here, it was that the way the LEP was defined as genocide, because I think ICHIR was the first tribunal to define rape as one of the components in the genocide.
Can you say more about why that surprised you?
It surprises me because I was even not thinking about that rape can be component of genocide. I was not even thinking about it. Because I took rape as just the normal offense. But I wasn't thinking that it can constitute as a genocide. And this tribunal, the first to define rape as part of the genocide.
Do you agree, personally?
I do agree, because of the incidents that happened in Rwanda. If you look at the films we have, that's exactly it can say something. And also, I was surprised to find that some of the defense lawyers who came here to defend the accused were also inducted. So we have two cases. One, there's a person by the name of Bahati Weza. Bahati Weza was a defense lawyer here. He came with a different name. But his name later it came to be known that he was a Simon Shamihigo. And he was just been convicted to life sentence, I think. And another person is Joseph Zabilinda. But when he came as a Bilito. So he was just often here in the system to see him. But when the person came to testify, they said, but this man, we know him. He was one of us. So he was arrested and he was inducted.
Since you have been working here and you have seen so much of the evidence, you have heard just from your job, sometimes even at the beginning, you had to listen in order to know where the different documents came from, how to file them, how to store them. Has your opinion or your thoughts about humanity, about people, has it changed at all from what you have been exposed to here?
Yeah, if you look at those photos, the live one, especially when the genocide was going on in Rwanda, it kills somebody's memory to find that a person can just attack a person with the same family to start just slaughtering one another. It is very difficult. Even during the testimony, when people came to testify, you need the courage of heart to stand by, to come and witness exactly what happened. But now, because of time, most of the witnesses now, person cannot remember exactly what happened 13 or 14 years ago. It cannot remember. We have an incident very recently when a person was planted as a witness just to come to testify against somebody in the system that this is what happened. Later on, because of the conscience, he realized that he made a mistake. So he came back, said, now I want to tell you the truth. So it means even when he was under oath, he did not tell the truth. Now he said, okay, I want to change my statement, what I said those days, because I was told by my government to come and say against the person. Now, because of my conscience, I want to make my conscience very clear, so I want to denounce what I said. So now what happened is that the person, he just disappeared. So they've been trying to hunt him everywhere. They cannot find him up to now. So he was one of the witnesses who just disappeared. I think it was 3 or 4 months ago. Because initially he came, he told the lies, so now he said, no, I want to tell you the truth. Because it seemed there was a deal with the Rwandan government that he should come and say the lies. Now they say, okay, now if you say the lies against this person, what we're going to do? We're going to reduce your sentence. Then the person, he was prepared to come and say the lies so that he can enjoy the benefit of reducing the life sentence.
Did he ever come here after to make that testimony?
He came here. So when he said now he was negotiating with the, I think after the prosecutor, that now he's going to tell the truth. He just disappeared in the safe house.
So for thinking of the future and someone who is in your role as you are now in the information office and working with TRIM, what would you recommend to that person who is training to have a job like yours?
I think that person should have a knowledge of the software first, of the TRIM software. Should know the knowledge, and then it says the integrity of the person. Because you cannot just come here. Otherwise, you can just give the information to the wrong person. We have an incident when I was working in the Judicial Records and Archives Unit as a records clerk. We have some interns from University of Rwanda in Kigali. They came here. They've been given access the strong rooms. Okay. But now in the course of time, it came to realize that these were planted by the government of Rwanda to come and get some of the crucial information. So initially, we were working under oath. But now, you can break the oath because you want to save somebody. So if you don't have integrity, it's difficult. You should stand by your integrity, you should know exactly what your limits are, and then stand firm. In fact, we raise the alarm that we cannot allow the people from Rwanda, as an intern, to come and work in the strong room, to have access to this one. There's a breach of security, confidentiality. So when we raise the issue, in fact, they decided to get them out of the archives.
So you're using a term, strong room? Is that what you're saying?
A strong room. Strong room is where you keep the confidential records. We call it strong room here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.